We begin the current daf, Masechta Tmur daf Yud. Begin several lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion from the previous daf, which is the topic of this parak of this Masechta. We were discussing the laws of Tmura, and similarly related the laws of Chaimish, we were speaking about regarding the limitations that applies to Hekdash Rishon, not Hekdash Sheni. So a similar type of a discussion, the Gemara says as follows, Bai Ram and Bar Chama. This halacha that the Gemara talks about that the owner, he adds on a fifth of the principal if he comes to redeem something that he himself sanctified. But if someone else comes to redeem it, then he doesn't have to add on a fifth. So therefore, Rambam Bachama discussed a case where if someone else separated the carbon for the atonement of his friend, and then the carbon develops a blemish, where then you could go ahead and redeem it. So the question is, who's considered, quote, the owner, when he redeems it, he has to add on the fifth? And he says, Maknish Maisav Chaimish? Is it the one who sanctifies it that he's considered the owner's, and therefore when he redeems it, he has to add on the fifth? But the one who's getting the atonement from that carbon is like someone else, and if he would redeem it, he wouldn't have to add on the fifth? Oh, yeah, and the Gemara says, Miskaper, or is the one who's getting the atonement, he's considered the owner, and therefore Maisav Chaimish, if he would redeem it, he would have to add on the fifth. So Amar Rabbi says Amakra. The pasuk says in the Yikra, it says Ve'im Hamakdish Yigalas Beislev, the one who sanctified, he comes to redeem his house. That's where the pasuk continues. V'yosef Chamishas, he's going to ask to add on the fifth. What that teaches us clearly is Makdish V'lei Miskaper, the one who sanctifies it, he's the one that has to add on the fifth, and not the one who's getting the atonement with it. So the one who's the carbon's for him, but it wasn't by him, he wouldn't have to give. The one who did it, who sanctified it, would have to add on the fifth. Similarly, Bayram Bachama, Makdish Eisa Tamura, is the one who sanctifies it that he goes ahead and he makes it into Tamura? Or Miskapa Eisa Tamura? That is, we said, the one who it's his carbon, he goes and he can make it Tamura. So whose is it his carbon? The one who sanctified it or the one who's getting the atonement? Samarava, he says, I'll prove it to you. Im Cain, if you would think that the one who sanctifies it, he can make it Tamura, then that would come out Metzinu. Then you could find that a public and partners then technically would be able to have a tamura on their carbon. How? Could go into Shavu where, for example, if the tzibur, the shutfin, if they appointed a shliach, lakdushik, to sanctify a carbon for them. Where now, the one who's sanctifying is an individual. So then, if you're saying we go based on the makdash, it would be classified and qualified as a carbon of an individual if you're going based on him. Now the problem is, we learn in the Mishnah at the end that says that the tzibur and the shutfin cannot make a tamura. Why can't they? If you go based on the makdish, and they made a shliach to be makdish it, and therefore then it's like a carbon of a yachid, so they should be able to. Obviously it is, because we don't go based on the makdish, we go based on the miskaper. And since it's for them, and they're a tzibur and the shutfin, so therefore their carbon cannot have a tamura, because since the rabbim are the miskaper, then it's not called a carbon of a yachid. Now, the Gemara elsewhere learns from Meiser that just like a carbon yachid can make a tamura and not a tzibur and shutfin, so therefore that's the source, but that's only if you go based on the miskaper. If you go based on the makdash, you'd be able to. So therefore he says, obviously, that's proof number one, that we go based on the miskaper and not the makdash. Void, moreover, he brings a second proof. Damar of Nachman, Damar of Hun, he says, Tanu v'litna b'raisa, it says, the pasuk b'midbar, it says, karbani la'ashem al nizra, the person has to bring his karbanas to Hashem because of the nazir's vow that he took. Besides, aside from what his hand, what he could afford. Now the question is, is the nazir qualified with a hesig yad? Hesig yad means to say how much you could afford, that's how much your carbon is going to be, which is known as a carbon oil of the yard. It goes up and down depending on how much finances you have. The problem is, that's only specific halacha, certain types of cases that we have carbon oil of the yard. The carbon of a nazir is a set, whether he's wealthy or he's poor. So haketzad. So therefore, what exactly is the pasuk saying? So says the Braisa, this is what the pasuk is saying. It's talking about the same thing, but it's two different qualifications. Karbani l'Hashem al nizra, his karban to Hashem for his naziris, means shehifresh mishaloi, which means to say when he separates from his own animals, he'll bring for his own naziris. When it says Mulvada Shatas Yodik, aside from what he could afford, means to say what other people separate for him, meaning when he has nothing to separate from his own because he's a pauper, and then he could afford at a later point in time, meaning because other people are giving him tzedakah, then he'll go ahead and be able to fulfill his obligation even by other people giving him for his karbanas. Now says Rava, Lama Hilchasa, for what halacha are we talking about that others could give him? If you think it's regarding atonement, meaning he's coming to tell us that, yeah, he could get atonement with an animal that his friend separated for him to be able to use. pshita de mechapale. Obviously, he can get an atonement with what his friend gave him because it's matana yovle, like the shita mekabetz, as in the words, he gave him a gift. Obviously, why would we need a pasuk to include that? Elin in Tamura. Obviously, it's referring to Tamura of Achikam, and this is what the Braisa must be teaching us from these words in the pasuk, which the Tzayin Kaddishim adds on the words over here, that Makesh Hefrish Mishaloi Eisa Tamura, just like when he separates from his own animals. He's the one himself who he makes Tamura, and no one else can make Tamura, because only the one, the owner can make Tamura. So it's teaching us in comparison, so to when other people's, which is that Hesed Yad, also when other people separate animals for him, then it's, the gear says, who Isa Tamur? That's when he, again, only can make Tamur, and not someone else. So says Rabbi, obviously that's what the Bryce is saying, and therefore, obviously, it's the one who's getting the atonement who makes the Tamur, and not the Makdash. To which the Gemara says, Loi, no, not a Raya. Le'inyin, and the girsa is kapara. Actually, the Brisa is talking regarding atonement. And that's what we're saying, hesagad, that other people go out and give him. Now, the kakashlach, this that you asked, matana de kayavinle. Of course, they're giving him a gift. Why would you think that he can't use a carbon that someone gifted him? So that says the Gemara, no, because he loved the Rabbi Rachmana. Because if the Torah didn't include milvada shatasa yodim, aside for what he could get from other people giving him, havamina gzeisa kasev, I would have thought it's a decree from the pasuk that says karbana, he has to bring his carbon. Mididehu de mechapa. He could only get atonement from his own stuff, like it says karbana la Hashem. Midacherim loy, from others not. Kamash balan, that's where you need milvada shatasa yodim, that to say actually other people could give it to him for atonement, but it doesn't say anything about timur. So the Gemara says, so my Habala, what was the conclusion? So who's the one that does the Timur, the Makdish or the Meskaper? So says the Gemara, Tashem Al, it's being a Raya with the Amr Bavom, Rabbi Yechanan. He says clearly, he says, Makdish Maisav Chemish, like we said in the previous discussion, that the one who is sanctified, he adds on the fifth when he's coming to redeem it. U Meskaper is a Timur, and the one who's getting the atonement, he's the one that makes the Timur, as the first Raya that Rava bought. And a third related halacha is Tari Mishaloi HaShalachem. If someone goes and takes truma from his own produce to tithe the untithed produce of his friend, the goodness of that benefit belongs to the one who took off the truma. He gets the benefit to give it to whichever kohen he wants to, and it's not for the one whose truma, whose produce he's tithing for. My tem, what's the reason for this last halacha? Because Amakra, the pasuk says, in Devarim, where it starts off by saying Kisachal Alasa, when you're going to finish off tithing as kol masa tivascha, all the tithing of your produce, the pasuk says v'nasata v'kayma, that you're going to go ahead and give it to who it's supposed to be given to. So it sounds like the one who takes the maisa from his produce, it's in his hands to give it to whoever he wants to, and not his friend who he's doing it for. It's the one who is by, he gets to choose. Now, what Tevesana literally means to say is that this has some monetary value that this Yisrael could get from another Yisrael who says, look, you know, give it to my grandson who's a Kayin because my daughter married a Kayin, and it has some value, even though he can't hold on to it, but he could decide who to give it to. That has monetary value. That monetary value goes to the one that was Tayrim and not the one whose produce it was tithed for. Gemara continues the next Mishnah, continuing this theme about regarding Mamirin, the topic of our Perek, of our Masechta, regarding what we could and cannot affect in the Halachas of Timur. So says the Mishnah, Ema Mirin, it's not going to qualify for the Halach of Timur, Loi Eivarin. Not taking, let's say, the limb of an unconsecrated animal, bi'ubarin, to take the place of a fetus of Hekdesh. For example, let's say the person says, let the leg of this unconsecrated animal be the tamura, swap the sanctity, which is also a part, of the fetus of a fetus that's in the sanctified animal. So that's what we're saying, no, the sanctity will not take effect on that aver, on that limb of the chulin animal, it won't be the halach of tamura. Similarly, the opposite, v'loi ubarin be'evar. And you can't go ahead and do it a fetus to take the place of a sanctified leg. Where if, let's say, he says, let the fetus in this the womb of this unconsecrated animal be the tamura of the leg of this sanctified animal. No, the fetus does not become sanctified in the laws of tamura. And so too, v'loi ubarin ve'evarim. And neither could you have the fetus or the limb of an unconsecrated animal b'shleimim be tamura for a complete sanctified animal. And the reverse too, v'lei shleimim, and neither could you have a fully intact chulin animal be tamura behen, in the limb or the fetus of hekdesh. Which means to say, it has to be shleimim, and shleimim has to be one animal for another animal. Rabbi Yisim, he says, actually, memirin evarim b'shleimim. you actually could do tamura from a limb, on the limb from a full sanctified animal. Where if let's say he says let the leg of this chulin animal be tamura in place of this fully intact kodesh animal, so then actually the tamura will take effect on that limb. And then it will actually spread throughout that whole chulin animal. And then it's going to be a full halach of tamura. And then it's going to be sacrificed like most tamura animals get sacrificed as a carbon. Now, aval lo yishleim behen, but the reverse does not work. But you can't go ahead and take a fully intact chulin animal to take the place of a limb of hektish, because you don't have the strength of one limb of a kodesh animal to go ahead and affect a law of tamura. Now, Amar Bisi, he proves his point. He says, because v'aloi b'mukdashin. In other words, we find by the initial sanctification of an animal when you're sanctifying it, if ho'ema raglish al zu'ayl, if someone says, let the leg of this animal, just the leg, be a carbon ayla. Halacha is kulayl. The whole animal becomes a carbon ayla, as we're going to explain later on the reasoning for this halacha. So therefore, av kashayema raglish al zu, tachazu. So too when he says, let the leg of this animal take the place of this animal, tehe kula, tumur tachta. So then it's going to be entirely tamur in its place. Now, the reverse doesn't work like that. You can't take a leg of a hektish for an entire chulin animal, but the leg of a chulin animal, just like it could initially sanctify the whole animal, so too when it's in the sanctification of tamura, the whole animal, even though you're doing a leg onto the full intact kachin animal, will entirely affect that chulin animal for the kedusha of tamura. Now, the Gemara introduced a topic related to our halacha of a mishnah, which ultimately will come back as a proof from our mishnah, regarding the halacha of uber, of the fetus in an animal, regarding its sanctification. Sidma, we learned the following machlekes. Barpada Amah, he says, in kedusha chala aliborn, sanctity does not take effect on a fetus. For example, if let's say someone sanctifies the fetus that's in the womb of an animal, it does not become sanctified to bring it as a carbon. And if someone actually brings it as a carbon when it's born, and he hadn't sanctified it after it was born, he's bringing chulin into the azar. And moreover, if let's say he separates a pregnant carbon chatas. So it's not like he has designated two separate chatois, one as insurance for the other, because he holds that the fetus comes from the strength of the mother, and that's how it's sanctified, but it's not getting its own individual separate sanctity. Rather, it's like the halacha of a vlad chatas, the child of a chatas, which actually goes and it actually dies. And for all its halachic purposes, it has a halacha like vlad kachim, which is secondary of the mother animal, and not like tchilas hektish, not like its own sanctity. So you can't sanctify it itself. The fetus is not considered distinct from its mother in that way. Now, Rabbi Yechidam, he says, no, kedusha chal ali barn. You actually could have a sanctification take effect just on the fetus of an animal. Says the Gemara of Azr, Rabbi Yechidam Tamei. And Rabbi Yechidam goes according to his reasoning of a different halacha that he said elsewhere. And Rabbi Yechidam said, hiktish chatas mu'uberis v'yald. If someone sanctifies a pregnant carbon, a pregnant animal to be a carbon chatas, and it gives birth. So now he has two animals, and he has to bring just one for carbon chatas. Says Rabbi Yechidam, Ratzah b'miskaper, if the person wants, he could have his atonement for his chatas with the mother. Ratzah b'vlada miskaper, if he wants, he could get atonement with the child. Because when do we say that the vlad chatas, the child of a chatas, has to die? That's when he separates a carbon chatas, a regular animal, then it becomes pregnant, and then it gives birth. That's the halacha mishnah Mesinai of the five types of carbon chatas that die. And that's the halacha mishnah Mesinai that it dies. But if he separates, if he designates it and he separates it when it's already pregnant, so then he's designating, he's creating a sanctity on this pregnant animal, the fetus is considered its own entity, like its own animal. And therefore it has its own sanctity, and therefore it's like someone who is mafresh techatois la'achrayis. When he has a carbon chatas, he separates two for insurance, in case if he gets the atonement with one of them, if he loses one, he'll have the other one. With halacha is, you could choose whichever one you want the atonement, and the second one goes out to graze. So obviously you see that the sanctity takes effect on the fetus according to Rabbi Yechidam, and therefore that's like what he says over here, that the sanctity can take effect just on the fetus. It has its own distinct sanctity. Now says the Gemara B'tzricha, and Rabbi Yechidam say both these halachas, which seemingly they're saying the same idea. Why? Had we said only the first halacha, which we're saying here in our sugya, so hasam hu de'akteshe, we would say, okay, over there it's sanctified. Why? Because it's a ketin tamid beis lo ubara gufe. Because he went and he sanctified the fetus itself. So therefore the sanctity is going to take effect. This is what he disagrees with Barpada. He said, could it take effect on itself? Wait, when if you're specifying it, then it could take effect. But here in the second halacha that we quoted from Rabbi Yechanan, de'akteshe le'imeh, He was mafresh a muberes for chatase. But what was he sanctifying? He was sanctifying the mother. So, and the gear says, hu b'chlal ime loy kadosh. So you would say that it's not going to get its own sanctity when you're sanctifying the mother. It'll be secondary to the mother. Therefore, you need even that second halacha to say that no. Even then, it's like its own sanctity within its mother. Now, v'yeshmin basraisin, had we only said the second halacha, so hasim hu de'akdesh la v'chol de'ispa, I would say, okay, over there, when you're sanctifying the mother, you're sanctifying the mother and whatever is inside of it. And yes, it would have a separate sanctity for itself. But here in the first case that he disagrees with Barpada, the Akda Shilei, all he's sanctifying is the fetus. And he's not sanctifying the mother. So it can't be get its own sanctity from the mother because the mother's not being sanctified. And moreover, Kibna Lesavroi, since the fetus is not on the outside world, it's inside the womb. So I would say, like Kaddish, even when you're specifying it cannot become sanctified because it's not its own entity. Therefore, we have to say that both halachas to say that, yes, it's considered distinct and it's going to have its own sanctity and its own right. That's one version. Lishnachrin, another version, says the same idea in a different discussion, says, my kamash belong. What is Rabbi Yechanan teaching here with the second halacha? There's two points that he's teaching. Im shayim mishur, that if you want to separate it, it can be separated. And moreover, that v'ubalav yarchimahu, that the fetus is not considered the thigh as an extension, the secondary of the mother. Now, how do you see this? From the fact that Rabbi Yechanan considers it by itself, and not like a vlad chatos, as the secondary of the mother that it's going to die, obviously you see from there that if he wants to separate and keep apart the fetus to be a different sanctity than the mother, he could do that. So for example, let's say he says that I want this mother animal to be a chatos, and I want the fetus to be an oila, according to Rabbi Yechanan, his words would be valid. And that's related to the second idea because the fetus is not considered as a thigh, as an extension, as part of the mother itself. Or if let's say he says, oh, I want the mother to be chatas and the child to be chulun. So then the child would be chulun. Now, that's in contrast to Barpada, who doesn't consider the fetus as its own entity itself. And when you sanctify the mother and you try to keep the child for some other sanctity, that would not be considered separate. It would have the sanctity of the mother. And then it would actually be what's called vlad chatas, the child of the chatas, and it would actually have to go ahead and die. And if he says that the child should be chulun, his words would have no effect, which therefore it would be like we said, the vlad kachim, and therefore depending on different opinions, that those who say that the vlad of kachim becomes sanctified in the womb, then it'll be sanctified right away. According to the one who would say b'habi yosin and kedoshin, then it'll be sanctified when it's born, but it would have the sanctity of the mother. But in contrast to Rabbi Yechanan, he's teaching these two halachas. That asks the second version, the same idea, muvatarti lomali. Why do you need two statements of Rabbi Yechanan? You already know these two ideas from the first halacha that he taught, that he says that the sanctity could take effect just on the fetus itself. Obviously, he considers the fetus as its own entity, which is the same idea. Why does he have to have both teachings? So as we said in the first version of Tzrichi, we need to have both teachings. Why? Di'itma b'ha, had we only had the second teaching, mishum di'imei chazi legufe, because the mother itself is fit for its own body, meaning that the mother is being sanctified with a physical sanctity to be sacrificed. So migi denachse kedusha la. So since sanctity is taking effect on the mother in a physical way, so nachse nam levad. So the child also, yeah, it's also going to get a physical sanctity, albeit its own sanctity, but it could take effect because also the mother is being sanctified. Aval idach, but the first case when he's only sanctifying the fetus itself, then I would say loy that you cannot because it's not on the outside and the mother's not being sanctified too. Kamash b'lan hada. Therefore, you have to say that first teaching. Now, v'yat mabaha had we only had the first teaching, mishum de kumafarish kedusha alavlad. Yeah, I would say because he specifies that the sanctity should take effect on the child. So then he could delineate that. Avalahi loy, but the second one where he's not, he's just sanctifying the mother, we would say maybe that it's not going to get its own sanctity of its own. We have to say that case too, that yeah, even there, it's going to get its own sanctity and it's going to be like mafresh techatois for the insurance. And therefore, that's what we need both teaching and v'bir. Now the Gemara continues, says, yes, Reb Zeir, v'kam l'ha shmaita. Reb Zeir was sitting, and he was saying over this teaching, specifically this halacha, this opinion of Barpada, where he disagreed with Rabbi Yechanan, and he said that you can't sanctify the Uber itself. An Uber cannot be sanctified as its own Kedusha. Now, it's Rabbi Yemi l'Reb Zeir. So Rabbi Yemi asked on Reb Zeir from a Mishnah later on, the Chavdal Mabes. Mishnah says the following halacha, Kitzad marimin al bachar. How could someone be crafty regarding a firstborn animal if he wants to preclude the rights of the kain, that he should be able to, that the owner itself should be able to benefit, not have to give, as the halacha is, to give your bachar to the kain. So says the Mishnah, the way you could do it is as follows. Hamavakeres shayis muberes, so a first-time mother animal who is pregnant, about to give birth to its bechayer. So Aymer, the owner, says, Masha b'me'er shal zu oila. Says, whatever's in the womb of this animal should be an oila. So Yaldas Achos, if it gives birth to a male, which it would then be a bechayer, harizu oila, comes out that it's already a korban oila. And then, if let's say the person was obligated in the korban oila, he could sacrifice it for his obligation of a korban oila. And then he kills two birds with one stone. Now the reason for that is because the sanctity of the oila took effect before the sanctity of Bechayra. Why? Because the Kedusha's Bechayra only takes effect when it comes out of the womb. It's Peter Rechem. So once it's already sanctified as an oila in the womb, you cannot have the Bechayra come effect and then take away the sanctity it already has of being a Kohen oila. That's the Mishnah says. But one thing, as Rabbi Yirmiyah, Alma Kaddish Uber, you see that he's sanctifying the fetus as a carbon oila. He's just sanctifying the fetus. That's difficult. The Barpadu says you can't you cannot sanctify your fetus. So then Amalei, so that Reb Zera said to him, no. Kimasniahi, when we learn that Mishnah, is Bekudusha's Damim. It's talking about that he's designating the fetus that with a monetary sanctity. That is that you'll sell the animal, and with its proceeds, you'll buy a carbon oila. And that was already before the Kedusha's Bechar. But to have the fetus itself have a physical sanctity, that cannot be, like Barpadu said. Rather, it's sold without a blemish, and then you, with the proceeds, you buy a carbon oila. So on that, he asked back, Mea lima kedushas damim, is strong enough that you're saying it's a monetary sanctity, to come mafkelim in the bechor, that's going to preclude the kedushas bechor, which is a physical sanctity, from taking effect? Amalein, he says yes, but none. And this is what we learn in the Mishnah, which is brought in Masech Teschul, Masech Teschairis. This is the following halacha. Kol kadshim, any kadshim, when you're sanctifying an animal, shakadamum kavua lehegedeshim, that it had a permanent blemish before it was even sanctified. And subsequently, beniftu, then it was redeemed. The halacha is chayavim bebechayr. If these animals are females, and then after they're redeemed, they give birth to the firstborn child, there's halacha of bechayr on that firstborn child. And ubematanis, there's obligations of matanis, which anytime you slaughter an animal, you have to give certain parts to the kain. Meaning we treat these animals as totally chulun. Not like psuli amikdashim, because it was blemished even before it was even sanctified, and now you already redeemed it. One thing says the Gemara is time of delacha sheniftu. Sounds like, yeah, the reason is because, but that's only after it's redeemed. That's where dechayavim. That's when you're going to be obligated in Bechayr Matanas. Avakoidim sheniftu peturin, but even though it's this, as we're going to prove, this monetary sanctity, because it had mum kavu before it was even hectation, which cannot have physical sanctity because it's a mum, and obviously it's not going to be sacrificed in Mizbech, still we see, but before it's redeemed, it's peturin, it's exempt from Bechayr Matanas. Alma, so we see Dali Mekadusha's Damim, this is what his proof is. We see that there's the strength of even monetary sanctity to Mafkele Mebechari that precludes the Halacha Bechari of taking effect. Like we said, because since it had a permanent blemish before it was hektish, obviously the initial sanctity was only monetarily and still it precludes Bechari. So therefore, yes, I could tell you why it's not difficult by Padda, because this that he's saying that it should be Kaddish as an Oila is monetary sanctity, which would preclude the sanctity of Bechari, which is even physical sanctity from taking effect. But Esvi, Rabbi Yirmiyah continued asking Reb Zera, which is essentially on the opinion of Barpada that he was saying over, from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, so Omer, Masha b'me'eha shal zu oila. Someone says, what's in the womb of this animal should be a korban oila. So says the Braisa the following, Muteres, the mother, is permitted begiza, to shear its wool, because the mother wasn't physically sanctified, it was just a fetus. So it's not doing anything to the fetus. You're not allowed to shear the wool or work with kachim, but the mother is not sanctified. But Vasur Bavaida, the mother is forbidden to be worked with now, Mishum Kichush Uber Shabbat, because now you're going to be weakening, the work of the mother is weakening the vitality of the fetus, which the fetus is sanctified. So one thing you see is that the fetus is sanctified. You see now like Barpada that you can sanctify a fetus. So Malay, so again the answer, he says, no, Hanami Kedusha's Dam, here also, what's the sanctity of the fetus? It's a monetary sanctity, but it doesn't have a physical sanctity. That he asked, Umi Alima Kedusha's Dam, so are you telling me that the monetary sanctity is so strong, that forbids even work being done with it? It doesn't have a physical sanctity. Why can't you work with it? It's just a monetary sanctity. Malay in, he says, yes. Because what not, so too we learn in the Mishnah. And this is actually the end of that Mishnah we quoted before regarding Kala Kachim Shekada Mum Kavua Lehektation. The safe of that Mishnah says that Yitzin Lechulin, that when it's redeemed, then it goes out to be considered like totally unconsecrated animals, like gazes, v'la'avet, to shear its wool and to work with it. Meaning, here you're allowed to go ahead and shear the wool and work with it after it's redeemed, because although classically psula b'kedushin you cannot, but here, since it had a permanent blemish before it was even sanctified, where it never had a physical sanctity, as the Gemara explains in the second parak in Bechayrus, so therefore here, after you redeem it, you're allowed to shear the wool and you're allowed to work with it. But the inference is, time mishum d'niftu, because it was redeemed. Hakayim mishum d'niftu, but you see that if it wasn't redeemed yet, asur mavay, it would be forbidden to do work with it. Ama kedusha is dumb, you see that even though it had a monetary sanctity, asur in la bavay, it would be forbidden to do work with it, and therefore, yes, still not difficult in barpada, that, yeah, because of kichash ibrishim, but which is just a monetary sanctity, you cannot work with the mother, which would then be doing some work with the fetus, even though it's just a monetary sanctity. But Eitzvah Yerubimah continues asking on Reb Zeira now, which comes back all the way to halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Ein mamirin, the halacha of Tamur will not take effect, lo evarin bu'ubarin, not the limb of an achulin animal to take the place of a fetus of a kachim animal, v'lo uburin be'evarin, and not a fetus of a achulin animal to take the place of a limb of a kachim animal. Now, one thing says the Gemara is, and the Gemara says, amurei hu delay meimer. So fine, from our Mishnah we're saying that Tamur will not take effect. Because by Tamur it says behema bivahema, an animal for an animal, then Tamur is going to be the halacha. But a fetus is not an animal. So we understand why Tamur is not going to work. But the inference obviously is hamikdash kachi, but that obviously but a fetus could be sanctified, because if the fetus itself wouldn't be sanctified, obviously you cannot do tamura of an intact chulin in the fetus of a kachim, because it don't have a fetus that's kaddish. But what we're saying that it is, it just cannot do tamura for it. So you see, not like barpada, that the fetus could be sanctified. So Amalei said to him, no, bevlodi kachim hu. Our Mishnah is talking about, yeah, we're talking about that you cannot do tamura of even intact chul animal for a fetus of a kachim, but how do you have a fetus that's sanctified? We're talking about a child of a kachim animal, the kadish v'kaimi, which that is already sanctified by dint of being secondary to its mother. You can't sanctify just the fetus itself. But of course, there's a classic halacha, when you have an animal that's sanctified and has a child, the child is sanctified because it's a vlad of kachim. That has the Gemara, Ivlad Kachim, if our Mishnah is talking about a child of a Kachim, then, okay, B'me'imon hu d'loy avdin. From our Mishnah, it sounds like that when it's in the womb of its mother, when it's an Uber, oh, then you can't go ahead and do Tamur with it. Havroy avdin. But then it sounds like once it comes out, it's not a fetus anymore, it's a regular animal, then it sounds like from the Mishnah that then you could do Tamur with it. But if you tell me that it's Tumat Vlodi Kachim, Vatanya, which actually a Mishnah later on the Yud Beis Amud Aleph that says, In Havlad, I said Tumura, you cannot do Tumur with a Vlad of Kachim. So obviously, if we're saying that when it comes out, you could do Tumura, obviously we're talking about not when it's a Vlad of Kachim, but rather when you designated a sanctity of the child itself as a Uber, which was what's called Hektish Rishon, when you sanctified itself, which obviously not like my product. So you see, you could be Malkdish and Uber. Says the Gemara, Hamani, who's the Tanav Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda, Dama, that he says later on, Havlad, I said tomorrow. He disagrees with that opinion that you just quoted. He says the vlad of a carbon of kachim, you could do tomorrow with. So you're right, as an Uber you can, but when it comes out, you would be able to. Says the Gemara, but Rabbi Yehuda, if you can explain that Allah of our Mishnah, like Rabbi Yehuda, then how do we explain the ratio of the Mishnah? The ratio of the Mishnah said, as we quoted before, that you can't do tomorrow with a limb of a chulin animal to take the place even of an intact hekdesh animal. So that sounds like that tmur hu d'layavdi. Okay, it's only for tmur that you can't have a limb of a chulin animal to take effect the sanctity of a tmur on the whole body of the animal because of just one limb to make a tmur for an intact kachim animal. But hamikdash kachi, the inference is, okay, tmur, that's not going to work. But for regular sanctification, initial sanctification, what's called tchilas hekdesh, then if someone was makdish one limb, that sounds like that then that would take effect, and that the kedusha would spread throughout the entire body of that animal, because that the inference obviously is that the Tanav Mishnah holds like this logic that would take effect, and from the fact that we see that's actually what Reb Yosi, who says back to the Tana of our Mishnah who we're discussing, who he says, wait a second, why do you disagree with me and you say that an Eiv Chulin doesn't work for a whole kachim animal, but b'mukdash, initial sanctification, when someone says that the foot of this oila should be an oila, the whole animal becomes an oila, obviously that the Tana Kama who he's disputing with would agree to that premise in Tchilas HaKodesh, that if you sanctify one limb, that the sanctity does go throughout the whole animal. And that the Tanav Mishnah is like Reb Shimon, who he's that partner of Reb Yosi, who is brought later on the Brisa, that he says, yes, Tchilas HaKodesh would be entirely an Ayla. But that's what the Tanna Mishnah is saying. But by Temura, no. That's where he disagrees with Rabbi Yossi. Either because he darshans behema be behema, it has to be a whole animal, both of them, or because he compares Temura to Meiser, which is brought later on the paragraph that begins with Aleph, that says just like Meiser is a Karban Yachid, so too that we compare the laws of Temura. And from that Hekesh itself, we learn out just like Meiser doesn't apply by limbs, so to Temura wouldn't apply by limbs, as the Gemara says in Chul Daf Samach Tes. So, but either way, it sounds like that the Tanva Mishnah, who you're trying to say it's Rabbi Yehuda, would hold that only for Temura the limb is not going to take effect in the whole animal. But for initial sanctification, it would sanctify the whole animal. But Ha'am Rabbi Yehuda says later on the Braisa that a Varan Loi Kachi, that limbs cannot sanctify, that is when you sanctify the leg of an Ayla, the sanctity does not take effect throughout the entire animal. So how could you say it's Rabbi Yehuda to resolve one problem when then the other hal of the Halacha of a Mishnah doesn't work out? Says Gemara, no, that's not difficult, because Hachamai Skinan, what are we talking about over here that we're making the inference that, oh, it's only that the limb is not going to work in the element of Temura, but regarding sanctity, that when you sanctify one limb, the whole animal will be sanctified, that's talking about Be'ever Shanashama Teluya Boy, that's talking about by a limb that the whole life of the animal depends on, which the Gemara actually later on does bring that Rabbi Yehuda agrees by something that would make the animal into a trefa. For example, if let's say he sanctifies the leg of the animal above the knee, then he would agree that the whole animal would become a nayla. But in Temur it's not, because he expounds behema behema, has to be a whole animal. But for initial sanctification, that would take effect, and therefore the halacha of a Mishnah could be like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore again, it's not difficult on Barpada from our Mishnah, because we're talking about vladikach, we're not talking about sanctifying it initially. And therefore, yeah, when it comes out, then it's going to be taking effect, because we're going like a Yehuda who holds that Avlada Issa Temura. And oh, we said, but if it's like a Yehuda, then how is it possible that a Varan that would be sanctified initially when he says a Varan Lekachi? That's only something that Neshama is not Tluya by, but our Mishnah is discussing that limb, which Neshama is Tluya by, and therefore initial sanctification would work, but for Temura, it doesn't. But Asa, the Gemara continues asking on Reb Zeira, in the Mishnah later on, the second paragraph of Tezayim Abeis. The Mishnah there is discussing the stringencies that initial sanctification has over the laws of Temura. And in those stringencies, it mentions the following one. Magdishin, regarding initial sanctification, we could be Magdish, Ivarin, Vubarin, limbs, and fetuses. Avalimimim, but regarding the laws of Temura, like we say in our Mishnah, Temura doesn't take effect with limbs and fetuses. So one thing you see clearly is that you could be Magdish and Uber, which is explicitly not like Barpada. Says the Gemara, no, Reb Zeira answers the Hachanami, but here we're also talking about that, yeah, how can you have a fetus that's sanctified? Is the child of a kachim. Says the Gemara, Ibe Vladi Kachim, if you're talking about the child of a kachim, my makdishin. What is the Mishnah saying that that's a stringency about initial sanctification, that sanctification could take effect on an Uber where Temura doesn't? What is he saying that you can be makdish? Hakadishin v'kaimi. It has that secondary sanctity. You can't be makdish the Uber. Says the Gemara, as we continue to talk about Yerav, now if you're right, but Hachikama, this is the way you should read that Mishnah. The Mishnah, when it was talking about Magdishin, was actually going on Avarn. Magdishin Avarn. You could sanctify the limbs. In other words, when you sanctify one limb, that will sanctify the whole animal, and moreover, Umamirin Behem. Actually, then Tumur is going to take effect afterwards in that same animal itself. And that's the Chiddush that we're saying when we're adding on this idea in the explanation of that Mishnah according to Barpada, is that Umamirin Behem is coming to say that this that we're saying that Mishnah Makdishin Evarin is not to say that just a limb could be sanctified. Rather, the obviousness that we're trying to point out from this is that that sanctity will spread out throughout the entire animal, and therefore then you could do Temura on that animal, because if you think we'd only be talking about the limb itself, then you wouldn't be able to say Umamirin Behem. Why? Because even Rabbi Yossi, who he says in our Mishnah, Mamirin Evarin B'Shlemim, that you could do Temura with a limb on a shlamim, on a complete animal, he agrees that you cannot do Temura from a complete animal on the limb, and for sure one limb on another limb. So rather, when we're saying that you could be Mamir with this animal that you sanctify just the leg, it means to say you sanctified the leg, which then sanctifies the whole animal, and then you could do Temura on that animal, because now it's an entirely sanctified animal. Avalim Mamirin Evarin Behem. But this Tana holds that, however, you cannot do Temura of limbs in them, meaning what it's coming to say is that this halacha that you cannot do Temura with a limb in an intact carbon. Where if, let's say, it says, let the limb of this animal be Temura for this intact kachim animal, that's not going to be sanctified. And that's what the Tana, that Mishnah later on is saying, that that's a stringency of the initial sanctification then from Truma. Because initial sanctification, when you sanctify one limb, so then the sanctity spreads throughout the entire body of the animal. Whereas by Temura, when he says that let this limb be a Temura to take the place of this intact kachim animal, that's not going to be sanctified. Now, then when the Mishnah goes on and says, V'ubarin, that regarding fetuses, shekadshu b'me'iman, which are sanctified in the fetus of their mother, meaning like barpada, you're right. Here it's not saying that makdishim. It's not the chiddush that we're coming to say with the barn. For example, vlad kachim. Even though they're sanctified, it's on this other idea that we're saying that when we said you'd be makdish evarin, so we said included in that means to say the idea that you could do tumura. So when we're saying makdish evarin ubarin, we're saying that no, that evarin is going to have mamirin ben, but regarding ubarin, where although they're sanctified because of the secondary of the mother, they're a mamirin ben, that you cannot do tumura with them as long as that when they're in the fetus, in the womb of their mother. And here, this part of the halacha here is not because of saying the chaymer of kachim than that it has over tamura, which is the purpose of that mishnah over there. It's because, as we're explaining, that the time the mishnah is coming to say regarding being makdish ivarin, that so strong is the initial sanctification of a limb that it takes effect in the whole animal that you can even do tamura now in that complete animal, which was through initially a limb. So that's what we're coming to say, that regarding ubarin, the day that halacha is going to be that no, you cannot do tamura with that fetus, because like we said, you can't do tamura in a fetus or in a limb. It's just that by a limb that we said it could be in the initial sanctification will sanctify the whole thing, but in the uber you cannot do tamura in the uber. Doesn't take effect in the whole animal, and actually can't even sanctify the fetus as we're going with by prad. But that the Gemara asks, and the Gears adds on the word e bevlad kadishim. But wait a second, if you explain that mishnah to resolve for Bapad, we're talking about that it's a fetus of a carbon, then b'me'imun hu deloy avdin tamura. It sounds like, okay, that what are we saying? That when it's in the fetus of the mother, then they cannot do tamura. Ma'amakdishin, then what does it mean when it says that you could sanctify the limbs and the fetuses? Hakadisha b'kaimi. Regarding the fetuses, you're saying you can't do initial sanctification the way you're explaining for Bapada. It's just saying it's already sanctified by secondary, by dint of the mother. So why are we saying makdishin eivarin v'ubarin? So the Gemara contains the topic of Alf Menav and says, you're right. Hachikam, this is the way you're supposed to read that mishnah over there. And it's not coming to tell us makdishin ubarin. It's regarding a secondary element that we mentioned, ubarin. The mishnah is saying as follows. Makdishin eivarin, we're saying regarding a stringency, regarding initial sanctification, that we could go ahead and even sanctify one limb, and that so strong is the initial sanctification that even, in these words, it doesn't say in the mishnah over there, but that's inherent in the chiddush that we're saying for the explanation of the mishnah according to Bapada, umamirin behen. That even afterwards, what you could go ahead, you could even do tamura now in this animal that its initial sanctification was only through one of the limbs. So what we want to say with these extra words that we're adding on in that mishnah of a mamir man is coming to say that this animal that you sanctify just one limb, it's not only one limb that's sanctified. Rather, it's that it spreads the sanctity throughout the entire animal. Because if one would think it's only when we're saying in that mishnah that, oh, that's a stringency of initial sanctification, that a limb could be sanctified, it's just a limb itself, then you wouldn't be able to say, as we're extending this idea, to say that you could actually do tamur in it. Because even Rabbi Yasi, who he says in our mishnah, that he's more stringent, he says that you could even do tamura of a varn b'shleimim, which means to say that a limb in an intact animal, he agrees that you cannot do tamura with a complete animal in a limb, and for sure not one limb in another limb. So if we're saying that you would be able to do tamura on this animal that's sanctified by one limb, obviously it's because that one limb initially sanctifies the whole animal, and then you'd be able to do tamura in that animal, because it's a fully intact, sanctified animal. Aval, and this is what the mishnah continues, whereas it's not so stringent, loy mamir nevarim behen. But you cannot sanctify, you cannot do tamura from limbs on an intact animal. Which that's the idea that we're saying, that if someone says, let the limb of this animal be tamura for intact animal, then it's not going to sanctify. And that's the chaymer of techilas hakdash from tamura. Because whereas by initial sanctification, when he sanctifies one limb, that sanctity spreads throughout the whole animal, but by tamura, when he says, let this limb be in place of this fully intact kachin animal, it's not going to be sanctified. Now, secondary to that, says the mishnah, and it's not coming to say the halacha of magdishin, as we're resolving for barpada. But as similarly a case of a fetus that's sanctified, not by itself. For example, if it's a vlad of kachin, that's what the mishnah is coming to say, that even though it's sanctified, here ain mamirin behen. Here, as long as when it's in the fetus of the mother, you're not going to be able to do tumu with it. And it's not because of what the primary concept of that mishnah was coming to say of a chaymer of kachin over tumura. Rather, it's because, like we're explaining according to Bapada, that the mishnah was saying Mamirin Behen, that when you have an animal that was sanctified through one limb, that it's so strong that then you can do tumor with it. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. But regards by fetuses, there you can't do tumor with it. There it doesn't spread throughout like we're saying by the limb. That's what's coming to say for, but really it's to Mavlad Kachim, because you're right, you cannot sanctify a fetus itself. And that continues the Gemara asks, and this the Girsa adds in the word E, Bavlad Kachim. So if you explain that Mishnah talking about, that what fetuses are we talking about? The child of a Kachim. So then the inference is, as we asked the question similarly before, sounds like, okay, but me'iman hu dulei avdin timura. This is the case where it's a leniency in timura, that when the animal's in the womb, that then you can't do timur with it. Havrayavdi, but it sounds like when it's on the outside, then you would be able to do timur with it. But what's not, we'll learn the Mishnah later on, the next daf, and you base them out that says, in avlada, so it's in timura. You can't do timur with avlad of kachim, even when it's not in the womb anymore. So how can you say it's from avlad kachim? Says the Gemara, Hamani, who's the Tana of that Mishnah? Rabbi Yehudahi, that Mishnah later on, the Tezayin, is going like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you could do Timur with Vlad of Kacha. And that the question is, Rabbi Yehuda, then Evar Mikachi, then how do we understand the other part of that Mishnah? Limbs, you're going to tell me, are going to be sanctified, that we said that's the Chamer of Tchilas Hektish, that when you sanctify one limb, the whole animal becomes sanctified? He doesn't hold this halacha, that when you sanctify one limb, that the whole animal becomes sanctified. On that Amalei said to him, what are we talking about over here? And that Mishnah is Bedavar Ha'isa Isa Trefa. We're talking about somebody that makes the animal that if it would be missing a mortal defect, which the life of the animal depends on, that's the limb that we're discussing over there, that yes, if you sanctify that one limb, then that's like the whole animal is dependent on it, and then it's going to spread the sanctity throughout the whole entire animal. That's a chumrah of Tchilas Hekdesh, where, but regarding Tumur, it still wouldn't work, even though it's somebody Shana Shama Tlui, but it has to be behemoth, has to be intact animals that we're discussing, and therefore that could be like a beard, and therefore that we could resolve the other part of Ubarin, is Tumav Vlad Kachim, and that yes, only B'mei Iman, you cannot do Tumur with it, but when it would come out, like a beard holds, a Vlad Kachim, you would be able to, and therefore it's not difficult, and Bapada from that Mishnah.